So we're going to take some time now to look at God's word together. And Chris spoke to us a few weeks ago about worship in liturgy, and I learned so much from that sermon. I went to him afterwards, my little list of things that I'd learned from what he brought to us from God's word. So we're going to start worship in thankfulness by saying a psalm together. So we're going to read Psalm 100 from the screen. If you can't read it on the screen, you can read it from a Bible in front of you. So Hannah, if I could ask you to just go to our second slide, please. So let's start by saying these words together. Shall we stand to read this wonderful psalm of praise? Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen. Please have a seat. How many people here have got young nephews, nieces, children of your friends? Wave at me if you're in that situation, okay? So if you've bought them Christmas presents, what are you waiting for now? What are you hoping might happen now? Any ideas? You've given them a gift, you chose it carefully, you packaged it, you gave it to them or sent it off. What are you hoping might happen in the next few days? A thank you. That's right. A thank you note would be wonderful, wouldn't it? A thank you text or a message would be great. How does it feel when you get a thank you from somebody you've bought a gift for? It feels rather wonderful, doesn't it? I love thank you notes. And in my family, no one's really into them. I make William do it, even though he's 20. I make William do it. But lots of people aren't into doing thank you notes anymore. They say, well, why would you need a thank you? You gave a gift because you wanted to. You wrapped it carefully. You wrote a little note to go with it. But that was because you wanted to do it. Surely you didn't give a gift purely for the sake of a thank you. And of course, that's right. I didn't give gifts to my nieces and nephews for a thank you. But they are nice to get, aren't they? They are nice to get. And I'm so old that in my generation, the idea of not sending a thank you note was just unimaginable. My mother would have been very cross with me if I hadn't sent thank you notes. We train our children to say thank you, don't we? We give them something. We give them a biscuit or we give them a piece of fruit. And then we say, what do you say? And they say, thank you. Someone holds the door open for them, or someone lets them go first on the way into school, or opens the car door. We say to them, what do you say? And they say, thank you. Sometimes we say to them, what do you say? And they don't say thank you. They say, it's mine. Say, no, that's not what I was hoping to say. What are the magic words? Did your parents ever say that to you? What's the magic word? The magic word is thank you. And as we grow older, It's an automatic response, isn't it? I can't imagine someone holding a door open for me and me not saying, thank you, that was kind. Or someone coming around and bringing me, well, Lisa bought me a lovely lasagna the other day, which is awesome. I had some on Christmas Day. And I said, thank you so much. That's so kind of you. We think that thank yous are important. And when we're not thanked for things, we really notice it. It dwells, it sticks in our brain. If we're not thanked over a period of time, sometimes we start to feel a bit taken advantage of. There is as much power in not saying thank you as there is in saying thank you. So we instinctively understand this is a valuable word. To say thank you, to be grateful, is important. I'm going to ask Hannah to move on a slide and just put up a quote, which I found as I was preparing for this talk, and it really struck me. So this is from Dave Rohr of the Fuller Seminary. He said, gratitude is the stem cell of all worship. Because stem cells are the cells that produce all other types of cells, all the other things that work in our bodies and make us able to function well. Gratitude is the stem cell of worship. So our worship isn't born out of the beauty of our expressions of praise in music or in art or poetry or reciting scripture. Our worship doesn't grow out of the eloquence or otherwise of a sermon or the ambience of the room in which we're in or who's in the room with us. All these things might add to or detract from our experience of worship, but none of them are the reason why we come to worship together. The reason for and the energy behind worship is gratitude to God, that we are thankful for all that God has done for us. So everything we do when we come into church together, our prayers, our hymns, our songs, whether we do something creative together in an all-age service, which I just love, all those things are an offering of thanksgiving to God for who he is and what he does for us. When we come thankfully, we are coming as witnesses to other people here, and when we go home and talk about church, that we are overflowing with gratitude for the things that God gives us, some of which he gives us when we come together in services like this today. So I'd like to suggest that a worship service of any form is not primarily about what we receive from God, and we are blessed as we come and we hear about the word and we learn together and we think together, not about what we receive from God, but about what we give to God. A worship service is about what we give to God. So what fuels us when we come to worship is not that we are empty and we come to be filled, but that we are so full of wanting to thank God and bless God and lift up his name that we just have to express it. We just have to find a way to express it. You might be thinking to yourself, why is it that we come every week and we sing? We sing all these songs that are mainly about the nature of God and how awesome he is and what he's done for us. Are there other places in your life you go to and you sing in gratitude? I think the only other place we often see it in our time is on the football terraces, where we see people come together in large numbers, feeling like they are part of something at one end and at the other end, and they sing because they're just so happy to be there. It's exuberance, isn't it, football singing? I'm led to believe. I've not done any singing at football matches because I've not been to many football matches. But interesting comparing that into them. Well, when we come together, are we feeling exuberant, full of thankfulness for what God's given us? So full that actually we want to sing about it. We want to sing about our amazing, wonderful, magnificent God. Now, I find that quite helpful because that tells me that whether a service has gone well or gone really badly is not about how the various components go. It's not about whether I forget to light the candles or I can't remember the notices, or like on Christmas Day when I missed out two whole verses of a hymn, much to Howard's surprise, of a carol to Howard's surprise. That's not good, and I try hard to do better. But actually, what's important to the success or failure of a worship service, including our service right now, is the state of the heart of each of us as worshippers. How have you come this morning? What were you thinking about the Lord on your way to church today? Did you come saying, Lord, take whatever I have to give this morning because it belongs to you. It's yours. Everything I have comes from you. So I want to be grateful and thankful. So what does the Bible have to say about thankfulness in worship? Well, it's throughout the Bible. Do you know, I started counting and I couldn't. It was just too much to count. That's lovely, isn't it? That's abundance when that happens. The Bible constantly emphasises the importance of thankfulness. The psalm that we've read together, Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. And all of those phrases end with exclamation marks. So just to say, they're not enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, give thanks to him, bless his name. They're not serious and quiet. They are enter his gates with thanksgiving, bless his name, is how these are written, to make us understand how they were originally written and how they were originally said out loud. Apparently Psalm 100 was the psalm that often you said when you went into the first bit of the temple courts. So you came from home, you'd been preparing your heart to go to the temple. For us coming to church, you'd already have been talking to God in prayer that morning. You've been trying to work out, was your heart in the right place? Did you need to confess anything? Did you need to ask God to forgive you for anything? And then you'll come into the first part of the temple courts, and Psalm 100 was often the psalm that you would sing or shout or say when you came in. Like coming into church, it's like us coming into the entrance hall. Can you imagine if as you came through the doors, if Mary was on the door, she'd say, well, welcome, it's great to have you here this morning. Just before you go into the main sanctuary, we're going to say Psalm 100 together. Come on then, off we go, let's start. You could gather us in groups of about 10, Mary, in the foyer, and we could do Psalm 100 together. I think that might put us in the right frame of mind, maybe, for being in church in the morning. The Bible is full of examples of worship in thankfulness. Mary's song at this time of year is a piece of scripture that we often hear again and again and again. My soul doth magnify the Lord. But the Bible is full of it. I like Miriam's song as the people of Israel came out of Egypt and across the Red Sea. I like the songs of the Psalms. You see that sometimes David is really like, oh Lord, please help me, I'm in a mess. And other times he's bursting, isn't he? He's just bursting with thankfulness to God. When we express thankfulness, we do it as an expression of our faith. We do it because we believe that God, who was good to me today, will be good to me tomorrow and the next day and the day after that. And I just wanted to make 5 points. They're short, I promise you. 5 points about why we might come to worship with a heart of thankfulness. And you might find that coming that way makes a difference to how you feel as you come in the morning. I'll see if I can convince Mary to do Psalm 100 on the door next week so people can get in the right frame of mind. If we could move on one, please. Could we move on one more, please, Hannah? Thank you. First of all, thankfulness draws us into God's presence. It shifts our mindset from what's happening for us onto being in the presence of God. Gratitude takes us from worry and moves us into a mindset of worship. It helps us notice that God is present with us. And sometimes we come into church and we're so busy, maybe we're on the rota, maybe we've got to get coffee cups ready, maybe we've got to practice some songs, maybe we've got to make sure the AV is working. Well, a million things to do, catching up with people about what's happening for you and where have you been. And maybe we don't always take those couple of minutes just to stop in prayer and inquire, just to say, Lord, here I am. I've come today, Lord, because I want to be able to worship you in thankfulness for all that you've done for me. Secondly, thankfulness shifts the focus from us to God. So when we come and we worship in thankfulness, we're thinking of the greatness of God. Just like we sang earlier on, how great is our God. How great is our God. So it's not our circumstances at the centre of our attention and our mind. It's actually the nature of God himself, right in the centre of our thinking. I don't know about you, but whenever I stop and I really focus on the nature of God, and of course there are so many attributes of the Lord, you could take any of them. They're all great. But when you stop and you think about who God is, everything else becomes a little bit less important. Everything else becomes a little less anxiety-inducing. And when we come and we focus on God rather than us, we focus on God's goodness and faithfulness rather than the things that we lack. So my son and the rest of my family are spending this weekend together. And I'm not there because that's my ex-husband's family. So I sat yesterday at home feeling a little bit, woe is me, if I'm honest. Everybody, all these people who I know and love are gathered together in one place and I'm not there. I'm at home by myself. So I had to eat some jelly babies to cheer myself up, which worked. But it did make me again reflect, because then later in the day I was doing more prep for today and I thought, Rachel, look at that line. God's goodness and faithfulness is where your focus should be. Not on the things that you lack. God's goodness and faithfulness. And my experience from yesterday was that that is absolutely true. That when I shift my focus from things I might think I lack onto God's goodness and faithfulness, my whole mindset changes. And I'm full of gratitude and grateful for how God has blessed me. Thirdly, Hannah, you're doing brilliantly at the back there. I haven't got the clicker today and Hannah is moving things on for me. Thankfulness strengthens our own faith in worship. So when we come thankfully and we reflect on what God has done for us, a bit like we did together at the beginning of the service, what are you thankful for from this year? We are reminded that God has been faithful in the past and promises us that he will be faithful in the future. Do you remember that story of the 10 lepers in Luke? Jesus heals them. And they all go away and only one comes back to thank Jesus. Maybe you remember what Jesus said to that one man who was healed. He came back. He said, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. So for that man who was healed, the thankfulness wasn't just good manners, like a thank you note after a Christmas gift. It was evidence of his deep trust in God. So the man's gratitude was evidence of his faith. So when we're grateful and thankful during worship, it's not just emotion. I don't know about you, but if it was only emotion, if I only came and worshipped God and was thankful to God when I felt like it, I wouldn't be worshipping in thankfulness every week. Because some weeks I feel a bit overwhelmed, or I'd be not dealing with a knotty problem that I have. Or maybe I'd not been well treated at something during the week. So I would come with all of that, and that would form a barrier between me and the Lord. Instead, we're told that we should choose to come and worship in thankfulness. Psalm 28 verse 7 talks about how gratitude strengthens faith in worship. It says this, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy and with my song I praise him. So when we come and say, Lord, it's difficult now. I need you. Be my shield, be my strength. God answers that prayer. And when he does, we trust him more because we see him at work. And as we trust him more, we become filled with joy. And then we praise him for what he's done. It's like a pattern, a sequence of events that helps us. So thankfulness strengthens our faith in worship, but thankfulness also strengthens our joy in worship. When we are thankful, we learn to rejoice. We've been here this morning rejoicing, singing, reading scripture together, praying together. All those things are helpful to us. If we go back and look at scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5, we're told, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So when we decide to be thankful, we learn to be thankful in all circumstances. Whether it's easy, whether there's so much in the front of our minds to come and be thankful for today, or whether it's a choice, whether it's an act of will to come and be thankful today, God doesn't change and God sees where we come from. Joyful worship strengthens us, strengthens our faith, gives us strength for when things are difficult. And I'd really liked a line that I read in a Bible study I read about thankfulness. It said this, when we come in thankfulness, We remember that joy is dependent on God's unchanging goodness, not what happens around us. I had to stop and think about that for a little while. When we come in thankfulness, we remember that joy is dependent on God's unchanging goodness, not what happens around us. And last but not least, thankfulness invites the Holy Spirit to work through us. We know the Holy Spirit is involved when we come to worship, that the Spirit is part of how we are able to express ourselves to the Lord, that the work of the Holy Spirit touches our hearts and our souls and our minds. When we come to worship with thankful hearts, we are making room for the Holy Spirit to come into us and to work in us and through us. A thankfulness brings us closer to the purposes of God. It brings us closer. We're saying, Lord, I am looking at who you are and I am amazed. Ephesians 5 says this, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we have thankful hearts, we tend to have open hearts, so we can invite the Holy Spirit in and say, Lord, have your way with me and in me. And as the Spirit moves in our worship together, and we've seen that happen so many times here at Hebron, our thankfulness becomes contagious as other people see the Spirit at work within us. So, you know me, I like to have a so what moment when I speak, because I do best with practical things. So I've got a practical thought for us today. This is just an idea. You can take it or leave it, and I won't mind at all. It's absolutely up to you. But I thought sometimes it's good to have something that might encourage us into worship with thankfulness. Maybe in 2025, you might like to keep track of what you are thankful to God for in the year ahead. So earlier, when we did that thing together, what are you thankful for in this year? I could see some people like, oh, and other people like, oh. And there was a bit of thought going on to think back on the year. Wouldn't it be lovely if you could say, let me get my list. Let me show you my list of so many ways in which God was good to me, that I'm thankful to God in this year. So you could keep a journal. If you're a writer, a diary writer, you like keeping notes, how wonderful to just keep a little notebook. And when God does something and you just feel so thankful, or when maybe when you're just in a quiet time at home and you just feel so close to the Lord Jesus, have a little notebook. Maybe you got one for Christmas. I got three notebooks because I love that sort of thing. One of them is going to be for thankfulness this year, just to keep a note of the things where I'm so grateful to God. Maybe you might not like a notebook. Maybe you like to have a jar and some little bits of paper. And again, when something wonderful happens, you might just pop it in the jar. And when you're feeling in the year that it's all a bit too much, or at the end of the year as you come to reflect, maybe you might open the jar and read your own witness of how God has been good to you in the year. Or perhaps you might even just like to keep a list in your Bible and be able to write down every time you think, God, I am so thankful for what you have done for me. Or you might do something like this. Could I ask you to stand up for a second, please? This isn't going to be awful. Earlier on, at the beginning of this talk, we read Psalm 100 together. We're going to do it again now, because I want you to remember that you can do this at home. You can do it on the bus, although you might get funny looks, but you can do this in church, you can do this in lots of different places. The Bible is full of great examples of people expressing their thankfulness to God. I don't know about you, sometimes I can't find the words, but there are always the words in Scripture that we can read together and say, Lord, my heart is full of thankfulness. So we're going to do that just as we finish today. Let's read Psalm 100 again. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is good. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen. I feel like I want to say hooray, yeah. But amen is as good in this circumstance. Do have a seat. So as we close out 2024 and this wonderful series on worship that we've had the joy of studying together for several months now, I would just like to say to you that the connection between thankfulness and worship is profound. Going back to the quote from earlier on, gratitude is the stem cell of all worship. So as you come to church in the weeks and months ahead of 2025, maybe come and just take a minute at the beginning of each service to stop and be still and to come with a spirit of thankfulness for all the things that God is to you and all the things that God does for you. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, maybe it would be a good task for us to go through your word this year and find every incident where we are called to be grateful and thankful. Lord, we thank you that we have so many great examples from the Bible of people wanting to give you praise and honour and coming to be thankful for your work in their lives, for rescuing them, for saving them, for seeing them, for walking with them. And Lord, we are thankful for those same things. Lord, we pray that as we come to the end of this series on worship, Lord, that each of us will have learned something new that allows us to draw close to you and to worship you, Lord, as you are made to be worshipped. Lord, we pray that our hearts and our minds and our souls and with our bodies, Lord, that we might just give you praise, that we might come to step away from the things that are on our minds and instead to focus our mindset on you. Lord, as we come to the end of this year, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you, Lord, that our search for someone to come and lead our church has been successful. And we pray, Lord, for Angela and her family as she starts in this new role. And we pray for ourselves, Lord, that together with her, Lord, we might do great things in your name. We pray that your name, Lord Jesus, will be made better known in this village where we live. And we pray, Lord, that at the end of this year we have the joy of new friends, new brothers and sisters in Christ here in this church with us. And so now, Lord, as we close our service, we ask that you would make us a blessing to others. And we humbly, Lord, ask for your blessing in our own lives. Thank you, Father God, in the name of the precious Lord Jesus. Amen.